Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting, and keep coming back, and then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFA. Or any of them, they're guys.
Any of the A's.
We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Attaboy, I knew that was
boy,
coming.
That belch was coming. Shouldn't drink so many Heineken before the show.
That's right.
Shelly? Oh, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with?
You already said my name.
Okay, and?
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
So, Shelly, how's your day been today?
It's okay. I went to that sale thingy.
The sale thingy?
Yeah, the...
The giant garage sale of stuff?
Yeah. The one that keeps deteriorating with every passing year.
Somebody tried to sell me a suit from a place that rents suits. So obviously it's a suit that's been rented a bunch of times for $700. And I'm like, wow, so you rent this suit 75 times over a couple of years, and now you're going to sell it to me like it's a brand new suit. And for double what a brand new suit runs for.
Yes.
Yeah,
pretty much. And it didn't even really look like it. And when I asked, the reason I asked what the fabric was is because it looked like one of those shiny Southern preacher suits.
Yeah.
Oh. I was
also,
so
they
much.
Were selling these, like these fleece throw things.
Blankets.
That are like 4 feet by 5 feet.
Uh-huh.
For $120.
What was
and I'm
on?
Like, I can buy them at the local gas station, like hung up on a line for like $5.
Yeah.
Why do they call them throws? Who are you throwing the blanket at?
Someone who needs to stay warm.
Okay.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Whatever.
How's your day, Mark?
Excellent. Went and watched football with some friends.
Oh.
What?
Wait, today's Sunday. Did you watch any football yesterday?
I watched some football.
Which will be a week ago by the time the show
I watched some football yesterday.
Your guys, Shelly's guys,
oh,
beat
that's
your guys
right.
Like for only the second time in like 28 million years.
I get to be the lord of all because I went to UCLA.
Great.
UCLA won for like what, the second time in like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
We beat USC.
You know,
UCLA, 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 fight, fight, fight. Ha ha ha.
UCLA.
Just had to
you know why I like
okay,
USC?
They're USC.
You know why I like USC? First of all, because they're the Trojans, and how can a guy not like Trojans? Second of all, they got the same colors as Arizona State.
Who won handily yesterday.
Yeah, because it's Arizona State.
So what? We still won. Ha ha.
Wait, did the Bears play today?
Bears play tomorrow.
We just discussed this on the last show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, still play tomorrow.
Because they're 7-2, right?
Right.
Yeah. Dub Bears. Time for Dub Boozy News.
Quarterback's out.
It's okay. They're going to bring in some other guy. He's going to shred.
Okay.
Now. There was a time when you said if Jay Cutler was out, you'd be like, oh, thank God. And this year he's actually done surprisingly well.
They're still better off without him.
Are they?
Yeah.
In South Glen Falls, New York.
Is it still there?
It's still there. And in fact, some exciting things are happening.
Woohoo!
At one 16-year-old's birthday party.
Uh-oh.
It was a boy's surprise party, 16 years old. The police
Strippers?
Are trying to determine who was responsible or if there was a criminal act committed. They're not really exactly sure yet. But apparently the 16-year-old had a surprise birthday party at a bowling alley, the spare time bowling alley, at which two exotic dancers from a company called Tops and Bottoms
It's always good
up.
To have both.
Or topless and bottomless, as the case may be.
So they showed up, and apparently some of these 16-year-old boys at this party were given lap dances, and they know that because the boys then posted pictures of them on Facebook.
They posted more than a picture.
They pitched a tent.
So they're trying...
It was a camping trip.
They're trying to decide whether or not there was molestation, who was responsible... And all of that sort of thing. Because obviously these boys were traumatized by the event.
Yes. So much that they were posting pictures on Facebook.
Yeah. They were so traumatized.
Sure the
they were so traumatized they locked themselves in the bathroom for half an hour. Yeah.
With their laptops.
Sure the boys did not report this as traumatization.
No, who reported this?
Apparently somebody's mom pictures on Facebook, basically.
So is there any charges being filed?
Not yet. They're still investigating.
Yeah. The cops are investigating all the video taken by the boys. They're like, oh, man, look at that.
It looks as though there is now a case to be made for that giving people the finger is protected speech. In Orem, Utah, the ACLU sued on behalf of Seth Dame, who flipped off an officer who was driving by. The officer whipped around, pulled him over, and cited him for disorderly conduct for flipping him off. The ACLU took up the case and said that they were violating his constitutional rights under the First and Fourth Amendments. And they won.
Yes, they did.
Yep.
I'm wondering when somebody's going to take up the Supreme Court case on the cell phone law.
The cell phone law?
Yeah, about
freedom of speech.
Talking on the cell phone while driving.
Freedom of speech?
No, just assuming guilt that may not be the case. Because they're assuming that if you're on the cell phone, that you're a dangerous driver. You're in danger of getting in an accident or you could hurt someone. So if you've driven for 30 years and have never been in an accident, and you're on your cell phone, what right do they have to think that you perhaps could get it? They're anticipating an accident.
You know, I never had an accident that was my fault, ever, until one day when I was on my cell phone. Swear to God, talking to my buddy James, ran a red light in my Dodge, plowed a Ford Aerostar minivan. Luckily, I didn't hurt anyone. Made sure the woman was okay. She told me how nice a guy I was. My insurance company called me up. And the girl said, can you tell me what happened? I said, yeah. I ran a red light and I ran into her. And my insurance company said, that's the most honest thing I've ever heard anybody say. Because everyone always says it's not their fault. I said, it was totally my fault. I didn't say I was on my cell phone, but I said I plowed. You know what they did? They didn't even raise my rate. She goes, you were so honest about that, I can't believe it. And I don't remember who my insurance carrier was. But anyway, they didn't raise my rate. They didn't raise my rate, so I was happy.
Okay, there is a... I found this amusing. There is a new male grooming product on the market.
Manscaper?
No, it is called the Alpha Nail. Alpha Nail Polish for Men. They have something called the Signature Collection. It offers durable nail protection with an ultra-masculine finish.
What the hell's an ultra-masculine? What, does it got sandpaper
on it? You got dirt?
No.
You got to put dirt under your nails when you're done?
The nail polish comes in a pen that you just color on your... Basically, you're coloring your nails. Mm-hmm. It comes in many designer colors, including... And this is the reason why I included the story, because the colors include things called... Burning rubber, smoke, concrete, Benjamins, and my personal favorite, cocaine. That's a color.
Is it white?
It's white.
Okay.
But why would... it's white. So they're thinking we need a masculine name for this white So they call it cocaine. So apparently masculine, cocaine is masculine.
What should they have called it? Sperm?
They don't lie.
They don't lie.
They don't lie.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
First of all, who would paint their nails, a guy would paint their nails any color at all?
Oh, yeah. They have a picture of a guy in a boxing ring with blue nails.
What, is that black and blue?
No, it's just blue. It's like slate blue. They had another picture of a guy, a musician, you know, with yellow nails.
If he's got blue nails, he should spend some time in that boxing ring. Because he's going to get himself ready to get his ass kicked.
Exactly. Either that or, you know what, he's going to kick someone's ass. I got beat up by the guy with nail polish on. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Toughest guy in the class was always that guy with that sucky name because he got so used to fighting by the time he was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
The boy named Sue.
Yeah.
In Chicago,
Cook County,
Marques Perkins Brown.
Oh, this is a drug deal.
Actually, it's not.
Really?
30 years old, was arrested for impersonating a police officer. And now this reminded me of Sparky the other night. What happened was there was a funeral procession, and this guy gets out of his car to help the police officers block traffic while the procession is going by. He had a shield. A police officer's shield on. But the other police officers didn't recognize him, started asking him questions, you know, what precinct, that sort of thing, and he couldn't answer the questions. When they realized that he wasn't actually a real police officer, they asked him where he got the shield. He said he found it at his gym.
Oops.
Then, whereupon searching his vehicle, they found a whole raft of police equipment in his car.
That he found at the gym.
That's what he's maintaining. Why would you stop and assist the police with holding up traffic for a funeral procession if you had a bunch of stolen merchandise in your car?
He's trying to support the police department.
People are supportive.
Help them.
And this reminded me of Sparky the other night when, like, at Halloween, the night before Halloween, the parking lot at Starbucks was so packed. It was a madhouse.
Sparky is a homeless guy, for those who don't know.
But he's kind of pushy and bossy.
And next door to the Starbucks is the...
the Party City, where everybody's getting their costumes. Sparky's out there in the middle of the parking lot directing traffic like it's second nature to him.
Like seriously directing traffic.
Yeah, seriously.
Awesome. People
he's like
paying
waving people into parking spots.
Yeah, and they were paying attention to
him. Putting his hand out
to
stop other people. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
Then he went over to the line of people that are waiting to get into Party City to buy their costumes. And he saw... okay, line starts right here. It's going to be a two-hour wait, though. And I'm like, dude, no one's waited more than like 6 minutes to get in here. Well, you know, I just want them to be prepared. I'm like, dude, you're turning people away because they think they got to wait 2 hours.
Yeah, and then he starts telling people, well, you know, they're pretty much out of everything. You're not going to get what you want.
Yeah, this guy's really helpful.
I don't want anything. Well, in that case, you're going to get exactly what you want.
You're going to get exactly that.
But, you know, it's really nice for people, funeral processions, to stop like that.
Yeah.
I was playing golf with a guy one time. And a funeral procession went by, and he got out of the cart, and he took his hat off and put it over his heart.
Oh!
I said, that's really cool. He says, yeah, she was a great wife for 30 years.
Jeez.
Nice. Nice.
In Portland, Maine, actually in the state of Maine, actually, the story is just out of Portland. When the new law goes into effect, because Maine voters approved same-sex marriage, they're expecting a boom in the wedding industry to the tune of $16 million in the first month, $63 million in Maryland, which also approved a law, and $89 million in Washington.
Is that to say that there's more gay people in Washington since they're expecting $89 million compared to $14 million somewhere else?
Possibly.
And in San Francisco, $485 million.
Just in Maine alone, they estimate that 250 new jobs will be created this year just because of the new, all the gay people going to Maine to get married.
They're going to go to Maine to get married?
Yes. They're expecting it to increase business dramatically.
Good for them.
Which in Maine would mean a lot because I don't think much happens in Maine.
Does Maine have, like, any products?
Lobsters.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, we need a kazoo alert. Kazoo alert, kazoo alert, kazoo alert.
Okay.
Hero of the week. The hero of the week is Dr. Keith Smith. He is one of the founders and the managing partner of a place called the Surgery Center in Oklahoma. He actually started doing this a few years ago, but they are turning a profit, and it's kind of like a signal, a beacon in the darkness of the medical community. They were fed up with the whole insurance scam, medical insurance. So they decided to stop accepting insurance. None of the doctors that practice there accept insurance. They post publicly, you can look it up online, a list of their prices. And their prices are payable. I mean, it's livable for people to be able to make, they take payments. So people without insurance can actually get decent medical care without having to worry about, you know, mortgaging their house and, you know, selling off their kids.
You can sell off your kids?
You're allowed
on eBay.
To do that?
Yeah, on eBay. You can.
Damn.
But, and the fact that they're turning a profit without playing into the insurance game, I think deserves the hero of the week status.
Not as much as the guy who was donating half the profits from the pot.
Yeah. You know.
If he didn't get hero of the week, we shouldn't have any more heroes of the week.
Okay, well, fine. Do a hero of the week for the guy
we
with
did.
The...
Okay. I did.
We did.
Okay.
Hell
all right.
Yeah.
All right. And now we're... Wait. Oh, man. I forgot what state this is. Oh, Massachusetts. Okay. Sheila Burgess is the director of the Massachusetts Highway Safety Division. Her job is to increase and improve driving conditions and educating people. That she oversees public campaigns about speeding, texting while driving, the dangers of driving while impaired, blah, blah, blah. Her driving record has been published.
Uh-oh.
It includes 7 accidents, 4 speeding
wow.
tickets,
woo.
2 failures to stop for a police officer, 1 failure to stay in her lane, 1 driving without registration, 1 driving without her license, and 1 driving without a seatbelt.
She's an expert.
She's in charge. She's in charge of what now?
She is in charge of, I just said it. She's the director of the Massachusetts Highway Safety Division.
Is that an elected position?
Yes, it is.
She doesn't get elected again.
No. It's not. It's an appointed position.
I'll bet who appointed her doesn't get elected again.
No, that's not true. Because she was appointed after she gained a lot of experience in Democratic Party politics. She was a fundraiser for several candidates, including the lieutenant governor. She makes $87,000 a year to tell
she
people
needs
how
it.
Not to get
she needs
tickets.
It to pay her auto insurance premium.
Yeah, exactly.
She's an expert on the matter.
She is an expert, apparently.
On what not to do.
Yeah.
The company Medbox, it's a new-ish firm. They are making medical marijuana dispensing machines. Their stock,
claim... Those are going to get ripped off like crazy.
Their
people
stock,
are going to chain them to their truck and drive off with them.
Their stock.
They're a bit concerned because they believe that the company's stock is getting way too high.
Just like the users.
Their shares went up 3,000% this week. They went on Monday, it was $4. By Thursday, it was $215.
Sell.
So they are trying to get their executives to dampen investor enthusiasm.
Sell.
I don't know why you would want to do that, but apparently you do.
Sell now if you have it. We've got a guy in our peanut gallery that's bought and sold some stock. He's sitting there going, what's the name of this company?
Medbox.
Going to go invest in them. Of course, now
MDBX.
Is not the time to invest because they're going to try and dampen the enthusiasm.
That's true.
People are going to be ripping off those things. I'm telling you, if guys will try and chain an ATM to the back of a truck and yank it out,
yeah.
those things full of weed are going to be yeah. sitting ducks.
Kush City.
Okay.
You guys with sledgehammers.
Last story, Oklahoma City. This is one of those stories that you kind of go, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
An Oklahoma teen, Tyler Allred. He was 17 years old. He drove intoxicated and killed his passenger, his 16-year-old best friend.
Ooh.
The judge in the case, he pleaded guilty. The judge in the case sentenced him to attend church every Sunday for the next 10 years. He must then graduate from high school and take drug and alcohol test every week for the next year. Obviously, the kid and his attorney do not plan to challenge the sentence.
Yeah, obviously.
Is that a fair sentence? You go to church every Sunday for the next 10 years?
What if he doesn't? What if he misses?
It doesn't say.
Any certain church?
And he's what?
He could start his own religion,
it
right?
It doesn't say what church. Oh, Mark's over here looking for
religion
loopholes.
Of the open beer?
Yeah, he could start his own religion.
The Church of the Open Container?
Yeah. Church of the Open Container.
I don't know. I don't know. I read that story and I went, I don't know. Drive drunk, kill your best friend,
Our Lady
go to church?
Our Lady of Cannabis?
You know what? Church, every week for 10 years, graduate high school in drug and alcohol classes? I don't know. How old was this guy?
He was a
17.
Minor. Yeah, what are you going to do to him?
Other than that, you're just going to, you know what? Other than that, you're just going to send him to whatever it is, juvenile.
He could be tried as an adult.
But he wasn't.
But he wasn't.
You know what? I don't know. I think it's okay. I think it's a inventive sentence.
I'm for it.
Sure.
Okay, well.
Case dismissed.
Then that's the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back. Welcome back.
Just give us something to talk about.
Hi, Shelly.
Hey.
Okay, give us a topic, girl. We're ready.
The slippery slope. That's what you guys decided.
Us guys.
Okay, how would you like to handle that, Shelly?
It's not my topic. Well, y'all go on with your bad selves here.
What's your impression of it? If we said, talking about recovery, the slippery slope, what comes to your mind? I mean, besides that blank stare you have right now.
Wear deck shoes? I don't know. I don't know. Stay off of it?
Well, how would we approach the slippery slope? Are these things that you can do that start sliding you down that road to getting loaded?
Yeah.
Would they be that? Would they also be things that are considered by some to be a gray area of whether you are still in sobriety or not?
Well, one of the slippery slope things that I would look at, you get injured.
Yep.
Now, you get injured and they want to give you pain meds.
Yeah.
Do you take them? If you take them, do you take them as directed? Do you not? Are you fudging? I had shoulder surgery. They wanted to give me Vicodin. I said I'd rather not take Vicodin because I'm a dope fiend, and for me, I could see myself taking them the right way and then eventually fudging. I don't know if I would do that, but there's a possibility of me doing that because it's a slippery slope. So I said, "Do you got anything non-narcotic?" And he said, "Why, yes. Try this." I tried that. It worked great. But I know a guy in the program right now who had a neck injury, supposedly, and he's getting meds. I'm sure he's taking them. Haven't seen him at a meeting since. Claims he goes to a meeting every week. I pulled a fast one on him today. I said, "Hey, I got a buddy that goes to that meeting. Says he hasn't seen you there." "Oh, well, I haven't gone lately." "Well, I thought you were going to it every day. That's why you haven't been at the night meetings." "Oh, well, no, I haven't been to it lately." Slippery slope.
A lot of people start out that way.
A lot of people lately going out on pills.
Yeah, and then, you know, we've had one friend who started out taking her pain meds as prescribed, then it got worse, and she started taking them not as prescribed, and then she figured, "What the hell, I'm out now anyway," and just went and drank.
Yeah, taking four every 2 hours?
Yeah.
There's no prescription that says to take four every 2 hours.
That's what my prescription used to say. Take 12 every hour.
You know, there are some people I know who have really had an issue with it. I have a friend of mine who was in the hospital. He had gotten that flesh-eating bacteria.
Ooh, necrotizing fasciitis?
Yes.
Yikes. Shelley
loves that word.
Yeah, and they had him on pain meds, and he had a hard time getting off the pain meds to a point where he finally went in and announced himself as a newcomer. Even like he said, I was taking them, but it just reached a point where I could just tell. I wasn't going to get off of them. I wasn't going to, you know.
Yeah.
And it was out of control. And,
that's super, super common, too. The pain med thing is super common. How about the people, marijuana maintenance? Hey. You know,
prescribed?
I'm not drinking.
Prescribed?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are getting prescriptions now.
If you get a prescription for marijuana, are we going to reach a point in sobriety and in the program where that needs to be an accepted form of treatment for certain things?
I think it's bullshit on some things. Because you know what? I'll tell you what. If you're a cancer patient, mm-hmm. one thing that weed is very well known for...
increases appetite.
Is settling your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what people tend to forget is there are also drugs you can get that are like portions of the THC, you know, what do they call it?
Yeah.
Synthesized
THC.
Marijuana, where you don't get stoned when you take it, but it has the properties in it that settle your stomach. Certainly not as fun, probably, as smoking the weed, but you could actually get that for cancer or something without getting loaded.
Well, I think the reason why the medical marijuana thing became an issue per se is because, yes, there are anti-nausea drugs you can take, but particularly for certain diseases, marijuana itself seemed to work better.
Yeah, but there's also the stuff that they can synthesize. It's the same thing that's
coming
from the
marijuana.
But
it didn't work as well. That's why people kept saying we need to put this on the ballot. We need, because the actual marijuana worked better.
Now, how about this? You're a loadie. You know that weed works better, but there's something that's maybe not quite as successful that's not weed. Me, even though it's not as successful, I would probably tend to try and take the other one. It may not be as successful, but it's got to be more successful than doing nothing. And I don't get loaded.
I think that we have to ask ourselves, I mean, somebody put it this way to me. Because of my prior actions and the things I did, I have lost the privilege of choice in the matter of medication. That's how she looked at it. You know, being who we are, do we have, I don't want to say the right, but... okay, I have to think about this. Move on to Mark. I lost my train of thought halfway through that, and now I have to think about
it. Well, when you talk about choice, if I get hit by a car, I've said it many times, I will opt not to do drugs. But if I get hit by a car and I'm in the hospital, give me whatever you would normally give someone that got hit by a car. When I go to get out of the hospital, I really want to look at non-narcotic pain meds and things, if I can.
I remember what it was.
Please, enlighten.
She doesn't even smoke weed.
I know. I think that as addicts and alcoholics, we're going to have to understand that there is going to be a point when we're going to be physically uncomfortable. And you have to accept that. You know, I'm not going to, if there are options, and yes, the narcotic would work better than the non-narcotic, well, I'm going to be a little uncomfortable because I'm going to opt for the non-narcotic. And I just have to accept that. That's just a part of it.
Our friend Bill, right now, they're wanting to give him Vicodin, and he's not wanting to take it.
I don't know. It was morphine that he didn't want to take. Or was it? I don't know.
Whatever it is, he doesn't want to take it.
Right.
So he is trying to opt for non-narcotics.
And he's in a fair amount of pain.
He's in a lot of pain. And you know what? My heart goes out to him because I always think that. If I get hit by a car or something happens, I want to take whatever they give me when I'm in the hospital. When I get out, I want to try and do something different. I was lucky when I had my shoulder surgeries that what they gave me worked fine. You know?
Well, and here's the question. At what point, how valuable is your sobriety? Is the price of the pain enough? Will you be willing to pay the price of that pain to keep the life that you've gained in recovery? And at what point?
Probably.
Because we have, I also know people in recovery that are in such a severe and overwhelming amount of pain that they have to take the medication.
I have news for you, though. And almost anyone that's ever had pain and had to take some kind of pain meds for it, if you have significant pain and you take pain meds, it dulls the pain. People that get loaded off pain meds, it's because they're taking it and they don't really have pain. Because if you have a substantial amount of pain, most times they give you enough pain meds that it doesn't even get rid of all the pain. Right. Like when I got hit by a car once, and they would give me pain meds, and the girl goes, "What's your pain level?" And I said, like 3 or 4 or something. And she goes, "Then we're not going to give you anything." And I'm like, "Why not? I'm in pain." And she goes, "Because we want you to feel some pain, but we want it to be manageable because we need to know when the pain stops. Because if we kill all your pain all the time, we'll never know when you don't have any pain, and you'll be taking it longer than you need to."
What about...
Because if I don't have any pain and I take Vicodin, I'm going to get loaded. And if I have pain and I take Vicodin, it's going to reduce my pain.
What about the slippery slope, like people that, you know, you and I are fairly anal retentive about this, using alcohol in food? Is that a slippery slope? Because we know people that do it.
I know someone who makes beer can chicken.
Yeah.
Cracks open a beer in the middle of the chicken.
I personally, for me, that would be a slippery slope. I can't, I'm not going to have it in my house. Not that I'm craving it or anything, but, you know, if you're trying to get rid of a demon, don't invite it back in the house.
I think it depends on the person, because there's people that cook with it.
Right.
Everything will tell you that it doesn't cook out, but also everybody will tell you it's not going to get you loaded.
Of course it's not.
Well, so
there's alcohol in vanilla extract. If you bake 2 dozen cookies, that 2 teaspoons of vanilla that has 54% alcohol is spread out over 24 cookies. Are you going to eat 24 cookies to get two teaspoons of vanilla?
Hell yeah. No, I'm going to eat 4 dozen cookies.
The amount of alcohol is negligible there, but we still don't use any vanilla in our house.
What do you think, Mark?
I think it's crap.
It's crap. Well, like, I mean, yeah, I guess it would depend on the person, but for some people that might be a slippery slope.
I think it depends on why. You know, if you're using it to flavor your food, which a lot of chefs do, they're using it to flavor their food. Now, if I'm looking to get a vicarious thrill because I'm going to make split pea soup like my mom, and she puts cans of beer in it, and I start thinking, well, if two cans of beer is good, a 12-pack would be better. Because you start making pea soup with a 12-pack of beer, I'm pretty sure you have a couple
beer
bowls
soup.
Of soup. You're going to beer soup.
Well, and it's not, you don't use alcohol to flavor the food. That's not what it's for. Alcohol, you'll get nuances of it and undertones of it, but the thing is that alcohol unlocks certain compounds within certain types of foods that enhances the flavor, gives it more depth. That's why they use alcohol in cooking.
Mark?
Yes. Look, I use alcohol to cook. I won't say frequently, but on occasion.
Linguine.
Absolutely.
Unless I'm coming over.
Unless you're coming over, in which case I use an alternative.
Which is damn tasty, I might add.
Thank you. There are several desserts I make that I use.
Cherry's
alcohol.
Jubilee?
I have some I use that I use. I toss the fruit in brandy. I burn it off.
The vapor.
The alcohol vapor is the part that gets you drunk. If it's gone, you could still have an alcohol content there. It ain't the stuff anymore. That can be your slope. That's fine. Personally?
Yeah, that's my slippery slope right there. Because I saw a show where they said you burn off the vapor. 75 to 85% of the alcohol is still in it.
Yeah, they're full of crap.
It's only the vapor that burns
off.
It's not the alcohol.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's my litmus test. I've used it. I've cooked with it. I've eaten desserts with it. Never found myself getting up at 3 in the morning and sneaking downstairs to finish it off. Never found myself locking myself in the bathroom with it for 3 days.
Where's Dad?
To eat it.
He's got the Cherry's Jubilee in the bathroom.
So has it ever been an issue for me? Not in the slightest. So you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the guy who drinks 6 O'Douls in the course of a day. You know why?
How about a guy that slams 6 O'Douls in a row?
Fine. Mm. How about the guy who slammed 3 Diet Pepsis in a row?
Yeah, but there's no booze in that.
Yeah, but you clearly
there's
have
no
a problem.
Booze in that. There's no booze in the O'Douls.
There's no half a percent in that either.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but why would you want to drink fake beer? It doesn't even taste good.
No, my thing, and you know what? Talk about slippery slope. My thing would be, why would you want to drink 6 O'Douls in a row?
To prove a point.
At what point is that?
He just wanted to prove a point.
And you know what his answer to me was? Well, you'd get the same thing if you drank 6 glasses of orange juice that were sitting out for an hour. And I said, the difference is, I've never drank 6 12-ounce glasses of orange juice in a row in quick succession that have been sitting out for an hour.
God, your stomach would be killing you.
Yeah, you'd be like thrown up. It's too much acid.
It's too much booze.
You know, here's the thing. It's like, it's the old you, God, and your sponsor thing.
It is.
Yeah.
But the bigger issue I have is my doctors know that I'm a drug addict.
Yeah, that's important.
Before we do anything from a medication standpoint, I remind them I am a drug addict.
Yeah, and you're not trying to get something
that
you shouldn't have.
At that point, then, I follow the direction after that they give me.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right, because if they go to give you something,
yep.
Or if you are shopping to get more than you should be, then that's wrong.
My cardiologist told me years ago, glass and a half of red wine a day is good for me. I reminded him I was an alcoholic.
He said, oh, maybe not so much.
He told me cranberry and pomegranate juice do the exact same thing. You know.
Isn't that funny, though?
Yeah.
If cranberry and pomegranate do the same thing, why is the first suggestion from the doctor glass of red wine?
Because people will remember to do that.
Yeah. The relaxation factor.
The relaxation factor. Yeah.
It's got other things.
Pomegranate and a couple of Vicodin. Relaxation factor.
Well, no, it's a big thing to tell, like, people, normies that don't drink, hey, it's really good for you to have a half a glass of wine or whatever with dinner, because normal people typically look for an actual reason to have a drink.
And that would
like,
be one.
It's a holiday. I mean, they look for real reasons, not it's 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
That was always a reason.
That was always a good reason.
So if your doctor says it's good for you to have a half a glass of wine, they're like, oh, it's like giving them permission because they need permission.
Yeah.
It's like those commercials where they go, eat Cheerios because it's good for your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not eating Cheerios. They taste like cardboard.
Honey Nut Cheerios are good.
I like regular Cheerios in them.
Ew.
Frosted Cheerios are better.
Cream of wheat is so good to eat. I eat it every day. Cream of wheat is badass. I don't know if it does anything for your heart, but it's good.
So it makes you happy. And when you're happy, you produce endorphins. And endorphins are good for you. Therefore,
that's right.
The same thing with cigar smoking. Cigar smoking is good for you because when you smoke a cigar, it makes you happy. When you're happy, you produce endorphins. When
and I don't inhale.
Endorphins,
I'm like Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
but those endorphins are not going to protect you from throat cancer.
Shelly?
What?
Sex gives me endorphins.
All right.
Get to it.
Okay, right now? Yeah, sure.
So, Shelly.
What?
What are your final words on the slippery slope?
There are an awful lot of them. I mean, you know, stopping going to meetings, not calling your sponsor.
Oh, yeah, there were those, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the other ones.
The real obvious ones.
The program ones, gee.
The program ones. You know,
Shelly's trying to slide a little recovery into this show.
Just a little. Well, there are a lot of places that we shouldn't be going physically and mentally.
Crack houses?
I think, you know, but my sponsor always told me is the thing I always go back to whenever I'm like, wow, should I do this? Should I be doing this? Check your motives.
Motives is a good thing to talk about. Mark.
Maybe on our next show we'll talk about motives.
Final words. Epic
those
pause.
Were them.
Epic pause.
Got guys yelling at each other next door. I was listening to see what they were
they're
saying.
They're playing computer games.
Oh, are they? Okay.
They're playing computer games.
Final words would be, you'll find out soon enough
if it was a problem or not. If it was a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I'd say the time to find out if it's a slippery slope is not once you're already sliding down it.
Okay.
So, Shelly.
What?
I know the knitting has just got you enthralled.
She's like mesmerized over here.
Because it's exciting. It's an exciting part of the knitting because she's putting the shiny bits in.
It's an exciting part of... You know what? I got to tell you. That's a thing you will never hear a guy say.
It's an exciting part
of the knitting. Unless, of course, you're knitting a baby doll negligee. And the guy's like, that's damn exciting right there.
Yeah.
Well... It is. I mean, anytime...
Putting the shiny bits around the crotchless part.
That's always exciting.
It's
always, when you're knitting or crocheting, it's always the most exciting part is when you change colors. It's like,
They're doing a color change. They're doing a color change.
Wow. Yeah, the peanut gallery's watching, too. Jimmy's like, I'm going to learn to knit. A couple weeks later, Jimmy's going to be down a copy knitting a shawl.
A scarf.
So, Shelly...
What?
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can also get to his fine publication by going to recovery101.net and clicking on the banner. You can read the 12-Step Gazette online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town. And you can go to Facebook and go to the number 12 and the word Step Gazette. And click on the group and ask to join, and you can chat with us. You can also go to the Recovery 101 group and ask to join.
Nothing against 12-Step Gazette. I'd rather have you go to the Recovery 101 group.
All right,
but then. You could go to both.
Yes.
Mark? Somebody's listening.
So anyway, chasing down to that same recovery101.net site that Shelly was sending you to scroll down. Before you scroll down, there'll be a show there.
There will be.
Feel free to click on the show. When the show comes on, there'll be a little box in that little box, bag in a box. There'll be a little thing that says like.
Bacon in a box.
There'll be a little thing that says like. Click like. Like click.
You will click.
You will click the like. Click the like. And if you already remember Podomatic, thank you. You've been counted into our numbers if you're not yet. They will ask you to join. Please join and come play with the show. You can click permalink and you can listen to the show. You can follow. You can leave comments. You can add us to your playlist because nothing's better on a Saturday night at a party than Recovery 101 on a playlist.
Hell yeah.
Yep. So come on in and be counted and help us out. Thanks.
Speaking of parties, recovery, 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 recovery. That's for the Cal Poly fraternity drinking game. Every time they hear the word recovery, they have a shot. Recovery, recovery, recovery.
Recovery, recovery, recovery.
Nine people just fell out of their chairs. We're saving a seat for you. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Do you, Shelly?
Never.
Take yourself too damn seriously?
Never.
Only on Tuesdays.
Oh, serious
where
Tuesday.
She's secretary of a meeting. Who's the lead-out music by?
The lead-out music is by... I have to decide. I don't know. You know what? Oh, I know what.
What?
Unfortunately, they've broken up, but I think we should hear some 8 Days Clean.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Try. I'm gonna